Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. This next segment talks about a very sensitive topic. Sexual assaults in prison might be too brutal and offensive and inappropriate for some listeners, so be advised. But we are talking about prison rape and the national effort to eliminate it, and Governor Rick Perry's response in writing to the Justice Department that Texas will not comply with the Federal Prison Rape Elimination Act. Do you think prison rape is out of control in America? Do you agree with Governor Perry that the federal effort is counterproductive and interferes with states' rights? Call in at 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org, or you can write your ideas and questions on our website on our show page at tpr.org. So let's get some background on this problem and some details about it. We're joined by Lance Lowry. He is the head of the Prison Guards Union in Huntsville, Texas, and Chris Daly. He's the executive director of Just Detention International, formerly known as Stop Prison Rape. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Chris Daly, how bad is prison rape? Is it a myth? Is it real? How big is it?
It's a crisis. We know that every year around 200,000 men, women, and children in our prisons, jails, and juvenile detention facilities across the country experience some form of sexual abuse. And it's generally evenly distributed where the abuser is either a staff member or another person held in the facility. And we know this because the federal government for the last several years has done exhaustive research and produced really thorough data and a number of reports documenting this level of abuse.
And so there was passed by under the George W. Bush administration this Prison Rape Elimination Act of 2003. What does that try to do?
It does a number of things. One of the very first things it did was created the mechanisms for collecting this data. At the time the bill was proposed with bipartisan support from Congress, there wasn't enough hard data about not only who's sexually abused, but when it occurs, where it occurs, and how frequently it occurs. So a number of reports and studies were done, and we now have conclusive proof that we have a crisis of sexual abuse in our detention facilities. At the same time, it set up a commission that also was bipartisan that spent about 5 years traveling around the country, including doing a hearing in Austin, Texas in 2007 to, again, just learn more about the conditions that underlie the rates of abuse in our detention facilities. And that commission then issued some model standards that were then translated by the Department of Justice into federal regulations and released in May of 2012.
Lance Lowry, president of the Prison Guard Association at Huntsville, you're walking the line. You're doing the job. You're inside the prison with the inmates. Have you seen evidence yourself of prison rape?
Prison rape, a lot of times, is a silent issue. The predators in the prison thrive through power and control. You know, our prison system has a history of brutality dating all the way back where the federal courts had to step in and take it over in the 80s under the Ruiz stipulation. Now, unfortunately, the prison system at that time was not staffed with professional correctional officers. They didn't have that many staff. And the staff just wasn't experienced at handling the situation. They'd relied on what you called turnkeys, which was a inmate that had authority over other inmates. Well, the federal courts came in under the Ruiz stipulation and stated this process was unconstitutional and eliminated that. Well, this created a vacuum in the prisons where gangs and other predatorial inmates took over the system. And it resulted in bloodshed in the 80s. And, you know, the state had to go in and eventually lock down a lot of the gang members. And we got to the point where we had over 8,000 people locked down. Now, our problem has yet to be addressed in the state of Texas with the security of our prisons. You need to rely on your staffing. and the state of Texas is several thousand officers short. And I think this is one of the main reasons Governor Perry has said he will not comply with the PREA standards. Not that they're hard standards to comply with. They wouldn't be hard at all if our prisons were adequately staffed. In his letter, I reviewed, found numerous contradictions, and I questioned his grasp on the PREA laws.
Right. So I want to make that distinction very clear that Governor Perry is not saying that he's just totally going to not have anything to do with this PREA, this Prison Rape Elimination Act. However, there are elements of it that he says it's impossible for Texas to meet, and that's his word. And that what does that mean for Texas? Will we get waivers on that, or will we still suffer the consequences of losing some federal funding? Can you answer that, Chris Daly?
Sure. Texas is standing to lose their 5% of their federal funding for prison purposes. There's no leeway within the regulations for getting waivers on certain provisions of the regulations. An agency, in order to be in compliance, has to pass each and every one of the provisions. And in addition to the comments Mr. Lowry made, I mean, what we're seeing here is just a significant lack of leadership from the top that is not reflected necessarily through the ranks of corrections officers in Texas. As Mr. Lowry said, there are a number of folks who absolutely want to have safe facilities. They want to work in safe facilities and see the regulations as completely achievable. It may well be an issue that the governor has with the unions. I think, frankly, it's the governor is out to prove something, it seems to us. I agree with Mr. Lowry that the letter that he submitted to the Attorney General is just bizarre, like so many things that the governor does on the national stage, and it just really doesn't pass the smell test.
Well, I don't want to get into politics on this because I haven't seen any signs that this is a political thing just yet, that it seems like he is just talking about, you know, meeting some of these standards. Lance Lowry, with the prison unions, what are some of the specific things that he says that Texas cannot do?
Well, first of all, the governor is trying to certify all these facilities in the state of Texas, such as county jails. Under the PREA standards, the only thing he has operational control of is facilities under the state's executive branch, which would mean the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, any private facilities we contract with, and that's 109 facilities. Also, the facilities under the TJJD, the juvenile facilities, he would have to certify those. Now, that's one of the problems I found with his letter is, you know, he doesn't have executive control over a county jail out here in West Texas, and the PREA standards do not require him to even certify that. Now, some other issues I found was the where he is concerned that TDCJA would be compelled to deny female jobs and job assignments. Right now, the standards as far as gender cross-viewing is in compliance as far as the female facilities, where male officers are not in an area where they would view female offenders showering. You know, I think this would be an EEO issue that currently females can file on the state of Texas by him not complying with this. So,
yeah, that seems like kind of a strange hang-up to have on to block the whole Prison Rape Elimination Act application in Texas. We're going to continue our conversation talking about prison rape in Texas and across the nation and trying to eliminate that. If you've got a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a very sensitive and mature topic about the sexual assault in prison, how it's out of control. One of our guests calls it a crisis. And this is maybe a topic that may not be suitable for everyone. So if you've got little ears, young ones in the car, you may not want to have them listen to this segment. But we are going to be talking about it because it's a pretty important deal. And Texas Governor Rick Perry told the Department of Justice that he was ordering the Texas Department of of criminal justice not to abide by the federal rules that were designed to prevent prison rapes. These are rules that were brought about through the Prison Rape Elimination Act of 2003. We're joined by Lance Lowry. He's the head of the Prison Guards Union in Huntsville, Texas, and Chris Daly, executive director of Just Detention International, formerly known as Stop Prison Rape. So this is a sensitive topic, and it's not a joking matter, but a lot of people joke about prison rape and seem to act like it's just part of being in prison and part of the punishment. And like it's almost as if the judge, when he gave that sentence, it was like, I'm now sentencing you to go spend 10 years in the unit, and you're going to be attacked repeatedly. So Chris Daly, is that part of the deal?
That's absolutely the perception among a lot of folks in this country. And I think that it's because people don't understand, they're disconnected from the fact that these are real people who are being sexually abused, and they're people who could be in their families or in their communities, in their churches or in their places of employment, and that the vast majority of folks who experience this abuse in detention are going to come back out into the community, and people are going to interact with them. And I think if they really stopped and thought about it, that these are real folks, I doubt people would make those jokes.
Lance Lowry with the Prison Union in Huntsville, Texas. If they were able to come up with systems and procedures to greatly reduce the threat of prison rape, how would that change your job?
It would make the environment safer, not only for the inmates, but our prison staff. We have a high number of prison staff who are injured or are attacked because of the dangerous conditions and understaffing plaguing our prisons. And, you know, the overall thing we need to look at in the state, a lot of people, is the monetary damages. Under the Supreme Court decision of Farmer Burnham in 1994, the Supreme Court had ruled that prison officials in states could be held deliberate indifferent on prison liability issues. And by not certifying us compliant with the Prison Rape Elimination Act, we're potentially looking at damages that could result in billions. And one thing interesting, the commission, which is headed by a federal judge in D.C., Reggie Walton, had stated in an interview in September, had agreed that the damages could result in billions, and even stated they could be astronomical if a prisoner is raped multiple times. It could be a multi-billion-dollar verdict. So, you know, the state, not only is there the human side, but there is the financial aspect, what we're looking at. You know, it's either pay now or pay later. You know, the federal courts have come in and taken over our prison system once already.
State of Texas could be vulnerable to huge damages and lawsuits if the state does not comply with the Prison Rape Elimination Act. That's according to Lance Lowry, head of the Prison Union Guard in Huntsville, Texas. Let's get some of our callers on the line. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Anthony has called in. Anthony, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm listening to this story with great interest. From 93 to 95, I was an inmate in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Being that he is a boss man, as we called him then, he understands what an SAT level 1 is, correct, sir?
Yes.
I was that. I was in a 3,500-man unit. I was the only one. I was the quote-unquote warden's boy. I saw everything. I saw it from the secretaries. I saw it from the building one. I saw it from the inmates. I saw everything. And I hear all these things that they talk about how they have to really buckle down on getting the inmates not to have cell phones and drugs and cigarettes and all that stuff. The answer is TDC bosses. There's no looking anywhere else. There's no tunnels that they crawl out at night to go and get the things. It all starts and begins and ends with the TDC bosses.
So the bosses, you mean the administrators of the prisons?
I'm talking about the correction officers, CO1s or 2 or 3s or whatever.
Okay, so the guards.
We call them boss men, yes, sir. And I was there, and there was a cool one. Just like in life, you have cool everybody, and bad people everybody. These it was the guards that were bringing it in, and it's the guards to this day that bring it in. It's the guards that allow it to happen. Yes, there's understaffing all the way, I believe that, but
right.
The guards let everything happen and not happen, and that's it.
So, Anthony, let me ask you a question. Do you think that they can successfully eliminate or greatly reduce prison rape in prisons?
Yeah, I was there for 22 months. My 22-month in-house sociological observationary experience, I call it, the bosses let it happen. The bosses let it happen. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen, that there's not forceful rape and things of that nature, but I never saw it. And I was on a max farm, 3,500 men, 2001 at SEG, so I understand all that. 8,000 guys, we call them hardheads and knuckleheads, the ones that just wouldn't listen.
Okay.
They stayed in their cell for 23 hours a day, and that was it.
Anthony, thank you so much. We appreciate your input and your comments. That's a real experience talking about prison rape and his exposure to it. But he is saying, Anthony was saying there, Lance Lowry, you're head of the prison union in Huntsville, Texas, that the guards are compliant in this going on. We've seen that also in previous reports about Texas prison system and the No Escape report, which is credited for helping get the Prison Rape Elimination Act passed in 2003. And in 2008, the Texas state prison plagued by sexual assault. That's according to the Stop Prison Rape Foundation. So they're saying that this is, you know, the guards had something to do with this. So Lance, can you respond?
It does take a professional force to manage the prisons. Unfortunately, we are plagued with low pay, and you know, one of the provisions of the PREA Act is it has background check requirements, which require not only just the criminal background check, but one thing the state of Texas is not in compliance with is, you know, checking civil records and also other agencies such as Child Protective Service. If these officers are around juveniles, in TDCJ we have our youth offender program. One thing I found is the state is not in compliance with that aspect, and a lot of it is the financial reasons. They want a assembly line hiring and recruiting process, and as a result, you're not getting a totally professional staff. You do have those who come in and take advantage of the system because we're not properly checking all our staff out, and you know, we have a lot of weeding to do in this agency.
Okay, so the fine point of the discussion is that Governor Rick Perry says that it is impossible for Texas to meet the standards of PREA, the Prison Rape Elimination Act of 2003. Now, the question is, can other states meet that standard? Is Texas is so bad that we can't do it, but other states can? Chris Daly?
Texas isn't so bad. Texas can absolutely do this. The governor has just waved the white flag on this way prematurely. I mean, back to what Mr. Lowry was saying, not only has the governor misstated the number of facilities, but he's misstated the requirements under the regulation. He doesn't actually have to certify compliance. He can just give an assurance to the Department of Justice that the TDCJ is meaningfully moving forward on implementing the regulations. He doesn't have to certify this year. That's just absolutely incorrect. But it is a challenge in Texas. Looking back at the federal data, the most recent report from the DOJ shows that 25% of the prisons with the highest rates of inmate-on-inmate abuse are in Texas, and 25% of the prisons with the highest staff on inmate abuse are in Texas. So this is absolutely an issue that has to be addressed, and the governor is just giving up without even putting up a fight on it.
So it sounds like you're saying that Texas is the worst of the worst states for prison rape, and it's needed here more so than any other place, but Governor Rick Perry is not willing to try to do anything about it?
He's certainly not willing to do anywhere near enough. I mean, anyone who is taking this issue seriously, and, you know, he can just turn to Mr. Lowry, who can show him that these can be implemented, to say that we have policies in place that are addressing this, but yet year after year after year, having high rates of report show that the existing policies aren't sufficient. And back to Anthony's point that there are a number of provisions that absolutely will curb staff misconduct and improve safety both for other staff and for the inmates in the facility, and that without fully implementing the regulations and going through the audit process, there's going to be no way to know to what degree those policies have become reality for folks.
We did invite the TDCJ, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, to come on to talk about their position on this. They declined, but they did send us this official statement. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice is compliant with most PREA standards. However, the standard relating to cross-gender supervision would have a substantial operational impact on the agency. Approximately 40% of the correctional officers' workforce is female, and privacy restrictions affecting the viewing of male offenders would limit their ability to provide adequate security. The grant funds in question are received and distributed by the Governor's Criminal Justice Division, and they say they have a zero-tolerance policy against sexual violence within the system. And I want to thank both our guests, Lance Lowry. He is with the Texas Prison Guards Union in Huntsville, Texas. Lance, any last words? Do you think this is achievable?
It is achievable. It's going to take, staffing these units. Unfortunately, when we have only 50% of our staff on some of these units, that may be hard to do.
And so we now need resources.
We need more resources.
All right. Chris Daly, Executive Director of Just Detention International, formerly known as Stop a Prison Rape. Thank you for joining us. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.